All rise, please. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of Idaho is now in session pursuant to law.
Good morning. Thank you. Please be seated all. It's good to be here this morning in Bingham County. Meeting is the Idaho Supreme Court this morning for three cases today. This first case, obviously monumental to the parties, but also to court history in Idaho. It's case number 50,000. That's kind of a big deal among court wants, I guess, but it's great to be here with you. This case is Whitaker versus McConnell, and the appellants here are Bruce and Glenda McConnell, represented by Christopher Bromley. The respondents, F. James Whitaker and Whitaker 2. Ranch LLC, are represented by Robert Harris. Gentlemen, good morning. And do either of you have any preliminary matters for us before we begin?
I do not, thank you.
Not from the side.
Mr. Bromley, sir, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, Chris Bromley on behalf of appellants Bruce and Glenn McConnell. I have McConnell's here with me today, sitting behind me. At the outset, I would like to acknowledge, and we do appreciate the court's understanding of the circumstances that led to the destruction of the lower diversion and ditch, and we really do thank the court for hearing this on an expedited basis, so thank you very much. In my opening remarks, I will address two primary issues. First is whether the district court erred in overturning the findings of fact of the Idaho Department of Water Resources. And this is to the issue of the location of the confluence, which is above the upper diversion. And at its crux, this boils down to whether the Bohan Ditch is Stratford. And secondly, whether the district court erred in holding that the SRBA final unified decree, paragraph 11, did not supersede this court's prior determination in 1956 in Whitaker versus Cowley. So, as to the confluence.
Counsel, before we get into the merits, I note in your brief you haven't cited the standard of review under 6752-79. You do mention it in the standard review section of your brief, but it doesn't appear in your argument. Which of the prongs of that statute are you relying on to show that the district court erred? I know you agree with what the hearing officer concluded in the department's judgment, but in what way under 6752-79 are you asserting that the district judge erred?
I want to go down to the standard of review there.
On page 17 of your brief.
Thank you. Well, I think sub D is that it's not supported by substantial evidence on the record, or we're arbitrary, capricious, or abuse of discretion. And our contention is that all of the findings that were made by the hearing officer are supported by substantial evidence in the record. And then we have case law to further flesh out what that means. That's what's at issue. That when the district court sits on review, so we have a finder of fact, which is the agency. Sometimes in divorce cases you may have the magistrate who's the finder of fact. District court then sits on review. The question for you on appeal and the question for the district court on appeal as the findings of fact is whether they're supported by substantial and competent evidence. And what we have here was the district court ignoring the findings that were made by the department, made by the hearing officer, who was the trier of fact, who sat in hearing for 2 days, listened to the witnesses, looked them in the eyes, judged credibility, and instead followed a path of water that is the Bohan Ditch.
Did the district judge make any specific findings, or did he just apply the law differently to the lower tribunal findings?
He absolutely made his own findings. He found that he asserted that Stroud Creek, the natural channel of Stroud Creek, is in fact the Bohan Ditch, and then substituted his belief for this body of water that's coming in 50 to 100 feet below the upper diversion, which the hearing officer spent a good deal of time explaining. This body of water that comes in below the upper diversion is in fact the Bohan Ditch.
So do you think that's a finding and not just a recognition of our case law from an earlier decision involving this part of the country?
Absolutely, it's a finding. And then we also have the Supreme Court, your court's decision in 1956 in Whitaker versus Power, that establishes some things. There's no question what it's doing. It is a water rights case. It establishes a point of diversion at West Springs Ditch. It establishes a quantity of 80 miners inches from West Springs. And it establishes, based on an oral agreement of the parties, which of course is not in the record because it's oral, there's no recording of it, it's mentioned in the decision, that conceivably Stroud Creek was altered. But what I would point you to, though, is the 1954 engineer's map, which is on page, I believe it's 12 of my reply brief. This is the colorful map. And regardless of what that decision is saying that happened in the 1930s, when we look at figure 11 on page 12 of the brief, which is the reply brief, which is the colorful map, you see that the engineer who was commissioned by the Whitaker family, and we have testimony in the record from Mr. Whitaker saying that this map is accurate today, explaining, we can see it visually, that the left fork of Lee Creek, which is Stroud Creek, is flowing in half a mile above the upper diversion. And we have on this map, which you can see, I have all the maps reproduced on page 12 of the reply brief. Our engineer, using GPS, plotted the upper diversion and the lower diversion with green dots, so you can see them visually in relation to the hydrology of the basin. These green dots, which were GPS, are always coming in below the confluence. So what happened down there, again, this is a highly factual case with a whole bunch of witnesses who testified as to what they were seeing at the confluence. So we had four witnesses who testified that they saw water coming in below the upper diversion, which they opined was Stroud Creek. We had Watermaster Genter, who also, on the ground, said, I saw a channel, I saw a side channel. I'm not sure what I was seeing, but I saw water coming in above and below. We also had Scott King, expert engineer, former employee of IUWR, who was also on the ground. He said, I see live flowing water coming in above the upper diversion. I also see a channel that's 50 feet to the east. And this is consistent with what we're seeing in the maps.
So is it your position that there was still water flowing in Stroud Creek, even below the Bohan Ditch? I mean, my understanding from reading the record is the Bohan Ditch is taking all of the water. Are you saying it's not?
Absolutely not, because Scott King says, I see water coming in above the upper diversion. What I would also point to you, Justice Sahn, is in the record, so about a year prior, the McConnells needed to correct the legal description for the upper point of diversion. So when it was partially decreed in the SRPA, it was off by a quarter-quarter section. So we had to file a first transfer just to simply correct the legal description. So we did that. And in the record, you'll see the department found, yes, in fact, the McConnells are taking the full quantity of water at the upper diversion and the lower diversion because all of the fields are irrigated. The McConnells cannot irrigate all of their fields with only the lower diversion or only the upper diversion. So they, because of topography, they have to have two ditches, if that makes sense. So there is absolutely water flowing in at the upper diversion. It's a smaller ditch. The lower diversion is the larger ditch. But the department already determined as did the SRPA, that those fields are irrigated. And the determination of the department was done just about a year before when we corrected the legal description on the ARPA version that, in fact, yes, all of these fields are irrigated. The only way that can happen is if water is in both ditches. And that's what Scott King saw when he was on the ground. So this is the difficulty then, Your Honors, is the district court in making this finding relied purely on testimony. He was also looking at the court's prior decision in White River v. Cower. But again, and the question was coming, well, you know, what about that case? Something happened in the 1930s.
Hold on just a second. You used a pronoun. You said when it was vague. When the district court made this finding, state explicitly which finding so that I'm tracking your arguments about the evidence.
Great. Thank you, Justice. So the finding that the district court made was that the hearing officer already traced the water in the area. He said, okay, Scott Creek is coming in above the upper diversion. Consistent with the testimony from Scott King, consistent with the maps, consistent with the SRB partial defense. He also went a step further because of the arguments that were being made by Whitaker, which is this channel that's coming in below the upper diversion, we think that's Scott Creek.
And you used another pronoun. You said he. Are we talking about South Willow's hearing officer?
Talking about the hearing officer. Thank you. So the hearing officer made two findings that are critical and dispositive in this case. That Stratford comes in above the upper diversion, and that Bohan Ditch comes in below the upper diversion. I just needed to lay some context before answering the question, because these are highly factually specific questions that we're talking about in this case. What the district court then did was, in reevaluating the evidence, found that Bohan Ditch is Stroud Creek. So he substituted his opinion on findings of fact for that of the hearing officer. So that lower channel that is coming in to Lee Creek below the upper diversion, which the hearing officer found in his findings of fact, is Bohan Ditch. The district judge said, yes, that channel that comes in below the upper diversion, that the hearing officer said is Bohan Ditch, that's Stroud Creek.
Let's look at the exact words that the district court uses in the memorandum decision. I'm on page 8 of the memorandum decision. This is what the judge said. The director recognizes that Stroud Creek presently flows into Lee Creek below the McConnell's upper division. Notwithstanding, he does not base his injury analysis on that reality. Instead, he bases his analysis on the conception that Stroud Creek would presently flow above the upper diversion, but for the construction of the western ditch. The director's finding in this respect is based on circumstances that do not exist. How was he wrong in reaching that conclusion?
This is my response to you, Justice Mueller. It's a good question. Throughout this litigation, we have had the Whitakers, and these are the words of the hearing officer on the record at page 27. Whitaker seeks to blur the lines between ditches and natural channels. The hearing officer and the director were maybe not necessarily artfully answering the blurring the lines question, but they were attempting to do that with questions that were being posed to them by Whitaker over and over and over again about historic confluence, map confluence. What they were attempting to do in the preliminary order, the order on reconsideration, and the final order. And again, the final order incorporates all of the prior decisions, so the order on exceptions and the preliminary order. They were attempting to answer the question that kept getting put to them by counsel for Whitaker, which is, what are you talking about? Is it the map confluence, the historic confluence, the actual confluence, some other kind of confluence? They answered the question over and over again, which is, yes, the historic confluence, which we can see in the maps, all of them, on page 12 of the report.
reply brief.
Those are the map confluences that use the wording of Whitaker. Those are also very similar, I think, to where the historic confluences, how rivers move around, creeks move around. We know this. But we have many mapmakers who, over the course of 35 years, were continuing to address this question. So the department, and this is what I see in the orders, is the department was attempting to answer the question that continued to be posed by Whitaker, which is, well, you said one place here that it's historic, another place here that it's map. The hearing officer, James Sutlow, was incredibly clear, saying on exceptions, the historic, the map, it is the same as it is today. And that's the evidence that we have in the record. So we have maps. We have testimony. Now, the testimony was mixed. But as we cite in the brief, you don't have to have unanimous testimony in order to arrive at finding fact.
But doesn't Cephalo's conclusion about the West Springs ditch turn on his legal assessment that the West Springs ditch isn't a diversion? And when I read the district court's order, he appears to be saying, no, it's an alteration of the stream channel.
I think it's both. So in Whitaker versus Cower, the 1956 decision, it calls it out as a diversion. We know for a fact that that West Springs ditch is not described on any water right. So it is an illegal diversion, no question.
Except that specific issue wasn't litigated before the hearing officer, was it? I mean, it appeared to me that he made that conclusion based on the fact he didn't have a water right before him that identified that specific.
Yeah, and that's in litigation right now in Lombard County.
Right,
that particular question.
And that's one of my concerns, is how can the hearing officer make a conclusion when that issue is actually being litigated in another proceeding that hasn't reached a conclusion?
The reason that it's important here, Justice Sahn, is that the department administers water rights. And there is nothing on the face of Whitaker's water rights. And again, this goes back to the 42-222 standards, which is, in order to approve a transfer, we need to find that there won't be, and the only question before you, it's not local public interest, it's not one of the other factors, the only question is whether there is injury to existing water rights. So the reason that the issue comes up is because there is no point of diversion on the Whitaker water rights at West Springs Ditch. It's not there.
So can you, assuming that's true, then articulate your injury?
Correct. So using the attempt then to say that there, and the district court was using this, which is that, well, it's going to upset a system. It's going to require Whitaker to have to do something to his existing system. Well, okay. But when we look at the water rights, there is no point of diversion at West Springs Ditch.
So again, can you articulate your injury then as a result of the district court's view of it?
Injury to McConnell's or injury to Whitaker?
Obviously, you were protesting this.
But we are the applicants.
Right. You're appealing. And so I just want to be clear. How would you be injured if the relief you seek in this grant?
Oh, I'm okay. When you're using...
I'm not using it in the... mitigation sound.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's helpful. The way that the McConnells will be harmed is they are the senior right holders. So the SRBA decreed water rights to the McConnells, some of which of 1883 priority dates, all of which are senior to the Whitakers. The harm or the injury to the McConnells then comes from they are not getting their water rights in time, in priority, consistent with the prior appropriation doctrine. That's the harm, which is the senior right hold. And this, in some senses, this is not different than any other case, which is you have juniors upstream and you have seniors who are downstream. And routinely, and this is what the department was doing in this case, is how do I administer water rights in priority within a system? I have junior rights upstream, I have senior rights downstream. How do I do that? Well, the first thing I do is I look at the water rights, decide how do these water rights interact with one another. Second thing he does is I need to figure out, can I get water downstream or not? Water Master Gentry testified to the fuel call doctrine in this case, which is, okay, if you have junior water rights upstream and you have senior rights downstream, and if you turn off the juniors and you can't get it down to the seniors, assert the defense if you go call. That's always available to every water user. What the McConnells are saying is that if you allow upstream junior rights to divert when they are out of priority and we need the water, that's the harm. That the McConnells can't irrigate their place of use because the water is being captured. We also know in the SRBA that not only is there the hydraulic connection, which was testified to by Scott King, that we also see in the maps, but we also look at the first decrees for two water rights in particular, 74-369 and 74-370. Now, both of these rights were decreed in the same 2009 time period as the McConnell rights. And the 369 right and the 370 right, which are from Strap Creek up above, directly above upstream of Whitaker Spring Run, they explain that these upstream rights, which should share the same 1883 priority date with the McConnells, shall not be prorated with any other downstream 1883 rights. The only downstream 1883 rights are McConnell's rights. That was significant for the hearing officer. He said, well, in 2009, the SRBA decreed these water rights with no proration language. And as you're all familiar, typically when there's a question of supply, water rights with the same priority date are prorated. Nobody's cut any differently, because if you have the same date, we prorate those rights. That language was critical also for the hearing officer to say, this language would be rendered meaningless if I didn't look at it. And that language explains there is a physical connection from Stroud Creek to the upper diversion on the Creek Terminal Complex.
Mr. Bromley, before you sit down, one of the things that I think comes through in the district judge's decision is that the Whitaker case in 1956 is, I don't know that he uses the words res judicata, but that's how I interpret what he's saying. And that is troubling for me from your position as to the factual findings made by the hearing officer and the director if it is res judicata. And I'd like you to address that question.
Thank you. And that was absolutely my second point that I was going to address in opening, so I appreciate the question. We see this squarely addressed in the SRBA final notified decree. So paragraph 11 says that all of these prior water rate decrees shall be superseded. There was a reason for that, that we needed finality and certainty. Every water rate that was based on a prior decree in the SRBA was required to be claimed. Otherwise, it went away. There would be any number of cases that we could go back and look at that were on appeal to this court where some water rights weren't claimed, or they were claimed differently than how they were described in the decrees, in the decision on appeal itself. That's the difficulty here, is that both the McConnells and the Whitakers were also party to the SRBA. And the SRBA, in the final unified decree, which was not appealed, so it's the final judgment of the court, says, paragraph 11, all of these prior water rate decrees are superseded to the extent that they weren't claimed or somehow memorialized. And that's the difficulty.
Why isn't that a memorialization when this court has determined what those rights are?
Justice Degner, the example is that we can go back, and I looked at one case in particular, which is Jocelyn versus Daly, 15 Idaho 143. It's a 1908 decision. It involves the city of Bellevue, who's actually a client of ours. If you don't affirm the final unified decree means something, that these prior water rate decisions were superseded, this agreement that's referenced in Jocelyn versus Daly, the city of Bellevue could go grab the language that's in this case, which talks about an agreement for all of the spring flow, and seek to divide the water up differently than was decreed. So that's the difficulty, and that's the piece I think that is difficult to wrestle with, is, yes, we have a 1956 decision in Whitaker versus County. However, one of the reasons the SRBA was brought, and this is explained in briefing, was to bring finality to water rate disputes. Now, of course, we're having disputes here, but was to try and put everything on a piece of paper that everybody could read. Everybody understood what the rights were. And that's what we have. So we have junior water rights above, senior water rights below, with some statements that are made in Whitaker versus Howard, no question. But in the final unified decree, to which everyone in this room was party to, in paragraph 11, explains that these prior decrees are superseded to the extent they weren't claimed. And subordination wasn't claimed. West Springs Ditch wasn't claimed. This is why under the 42.222 standards that the department was looking at, which is injury to water rights, and they could not find injury.
You cite to the City of Blackfoot case. I'm just wondering your interpretation of that. That involved a private settlement agreement. Here, though, the private settlement agreement was actually decreed as a result of the decision by this court in the 1950s. So how would City of Blackfoot reach the result you'd like to see?
The reason for addressing City of Blackfoot was that to show you that there's another way, that if something wasn't somehow incorporated in the SRBA, you could at least look at a decree and see, okay, there was a private settlement agreement. The problem with Whitaker versus Cower is there was an oral agreement. That's stated in the decision.
I agree, but wasn't it reduced to a decree when it went to court and we made a decision?
It's not in the SRBA, Justice Mueller. That's the difficulty. The SRBA
in the Idaho Supreme Court, and the SRBA is part of the Idaho judicial system, isn't it? It's not that strictly administrative proceeding. We have a district judge that oversees it, right? That's subject to our precedent.
I agree with you, but the parties who are here in front of you today agreed in the final unified decree that everything that wasn't claimed is superseded. So you didn't have the McConnells in Whitaker versus Cowher. There was an oral agreement. That agreement we know wasn't recorded. It's not mentioned anywhere else in the records of Lundy County. McConnells didn't move to Idaho until 1993. There was no way for them to know of its existence.
You're saying the Idaho Supreme Court decision is only applicable to the parties that were alive when it was issued, and when they died, the president died too?
Absolutely. I don't know that I agree with you there. I think if the Cowers came back into possession of that property, that was an agreement that bound them, but it wasn't recorded anywhere. This is the difficulty, Justice Mueller, that I have, which is when we look at recording statutes that affect real property, so interests that affect real property, we have water rate decrees, we have recordings. That puts people on notice. There was absolutely no way for anybody to be put on notice. The adjudication statutes put the burden on the claimant to make these claims, to put the appropriate things in front of the adjudication.
It almost sounds like you're arguing a bona fide purchaser rule should be applicable here.
Potentially in some way. So we have a title, you know, they have title insurance, doesn't turn anything out. There's nothing recorded in Longmont County. It's a decision. I'm not sure how you go back. I think that would be the question to you is, what do subsequent purchasers do in the state of Idaho when they come in possession of real property if the inquiry doesn't end at the water rates?
So did the SRBA decree any water rates that overlapped what was, I'll say, judicially decreed in Whitaker?
Yes, they decreed 3.2 CFS to Whitaker, which is in excess of the 80 minor inches that was actually decreed in Whitaker versus Cowher. So the extent that there's any question in Whitaker versus Cowher that conceivably binds the McConnells, because we don't have this oral agreement, it decreed 80 minor inches to the Whitaker family from West Springs, arguably with subordination. The SRBA expanded on that, decreed 3.2 minor inches under a junior priority date. And that's the rub that we have with how does Whitaker versus Cowher and any other Supreme Court decision, cited Judith Jocelyn versus Daly, 15 Idaho at 143, how do we reconcile these questions with the final unified decree, paragraph 11, that says all of these prior decisions are superseded?
One last question before you sit down. Going back to the West Springs ditch, Does the district court opinion, in essence, give light or legal recognition to a diversion at the West Springs ditch? Is that the net effect of the decision?
That, yes, Justice Brody, it really is. It does, it gives some legal recognition to that diversion, even though it doesn't exist on the water rights. And that's, yes, that is a difficulty.
Okay, a difficulty. Is that the difficulty?
It is one of the difficulties. The other difficulty being the location of the confluence relative to the upper diversion. Those are the two, I would say. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Harris, under.
Justice Bevin, Supreme Court Justices, welcome to Eastern Idaho. Justice Moore, welcome back. I'm Rob Harris from Holton Kibble on Crapo, representing James Whitaker of Whitaker 2.0 Ranch. Jordan Whitaker, the manager of the LLC, is here as well. I think I need to start out to really clarify an inaccuracy. I've heard several times from counsel that there is not an authorized point of diversion on the West Springs Ditch, and that's just not accurate. If you look at the description of Whitaker's water at 74-157, the dots, the points of diversion, are essentially where the springs enter the West Springs Ditch. The source of that water right is the springs. So that West Springs Ditch is absolutely an authorized point of diversion location for the spring water. What it's not an authorized point of diversion for is Stroud Creek water. And that's where we get kind of jumbled up in the facts here. Because in the Whitaker versus Cower decision, the agreement was multiple pronged. The primary agreement was that the Cower Ditch, a ditch up gradient of the springs complex, would be constructed to send that excess Stroud water across the drainage above the upper point of diversion and the lower point of diversion for use by the McConnell's predecessors, and it isolated the spring complex. So that's one of the most frustrating things in this proceeding is when the hearing officer says it's an illegal diversion. It's not. And if you look at footnote 7 of the memorandum decision from the district court, he specifically addresses this. It's not an illegal diversion. It's not an unauthorized point of diversion. And similarly, the Lemhi County case that's pending is not over whether there's illegal water use. The issue there is whether the Whitakers have satisfied the measuring device and controlling works order from the department. And so I think that's an important clarification right out of the gate.
Well,
the other thing, go ahead.
Footnote 7 doesn't say it's an authorized diversion. When I read footnote 7, it just says they haven't determined yet whether it's an authorized or unauthorized diversion. And so I want to make sure I understand what you're arguing on the West Springs Ditch.
Yes, so water rights are defined by elements, including the source.
Right.
And if you look at, for example, in the record, administrative record of 7, 13, and 14, it's a water right report that shows the description of the spring water right, 74-157. There's also, in the record, maps that depict the location of the points of diversion where the spring water is diverted. So the hearing officer, in my view, inexplicably, he had two main reasons why he said he could use the mapped confluence location. But one of them was there was an illegal diversion of water at the West Springs Ditch. And I think what Judge Wildman determined was, no, there's actually nothing in the record that shows that. So to quote that footnote, to the contrary, the record establishes that the West Springs Ditch remains in place today and continues to alter the flow of Stroud Creek as it has for almost 90 years. There's no violation that's been received concerning use of that West Springs Ditch. So from a broader perspective, it's critical to recognize that this is a case, a petition for judicial review of a water right transfer, where the McConnells are attempting to add a point of diversion to their senior water rights post-SRBA. It didn't include it in their SRBA claims, so the department has to evaluate injury based on the circumstances that exist today.
Before you move on, what's the record citation for the partial decree of 74-157? I know you cited, you just gave us the record to the water right report, the actual partial decree.
I don't have it up top of my head, but it is in the record. If you look at the exhibits that were submitted.
Was that Exhibit 14?
Yes, that's right. Yep. So the director's decision was reversed by Judge Wildman. He's Idaho's water judge. He's been assigned to hear all petitions for judicial review of IDWR decisions. He's heard dozens of cases. And importantly, in this case, he held that the record did not establish some of the findings of fact that the hearing officer relied on this decision and appropriately reversed. Importantly, what he held was that any concern of injury to my client's water right would be remedied with the subordination condition. We're still in favor of that. As the court is aware, a reviewing court can reverse the agency if their conclusions are not supported by substantial evidence on the record as a whole. In another water law case, NRA permit number 65-128-4742 at 122 Idaho 59, this court said a finding of fact without any basis in the record would be clearly erroneous. Also, a finding of fact lacking substantial and competent evidence to support it is clearly erroneous. And in this case, this gets a little bit confusing because we've got some jumbled terminology. But in our view, this is more of a case about answering a legal question, which is, where does a hearing officer evaluate injury? Is it at a mapped confluence that used to exist, or where the confluence currently is? And in this case, the hearing officer used a mapped confluence location rather than the actual confluence location. And that's a legal question. He's using something from the past to evaluate a current application to amend water rights. And that was, the court found, erroneous. The court said it's not based on reality and that it's a conception based on circumstances that do not exist. So,
what about the claim that there actually is water flowing in at the upper diversion? And that seemed to me, Judge Wildman, that was absolutely not the case.
Yeah, and I just will tell you that based on my review of the record, I disagree with that claim. The actual evidence...
The claim of the district judge, or the finding of the district judge, or the claim?
I'm sorry, the claims asserted today that at the upper diversion that there's actually a confluence. There's not a confluence there. All of the testimony was that it's not where it was mapped, but further down. Yet, and in the record, there's testimony from David Tomchak, who is a resident up there, who's walked the ditch. You also have testimony from Stephen Johnson, whose property this is actually on, and who's walked it and said, no, there's a berm between the two channels, and they parallel each other for quite some distance. But eventually, that channel comes in below the McConnell's upper diversion. And even Bruce McConnell himself testified that it came in below the upper diversion. The council suggested that there was some confusion about that. It just isn't. If you look at my question that's quoted in the memorandum decision, it's just very specific. Does Stroud Creek come in above or below it? And he said, well, it comes in below it.
And so could you address council's contention that Scott King's testimony provided substantial and competent evidence?
Yeah, in our reply brief, I addressed this because, and I won't try not to quote verbatim too much, but if you look at the transcript, he doesn't indicate that the confluence was there. Eventually, he says, quote, but my opinion is that the confluence of that is further upstream. It's where it's been mapped before. He was specifically asked, did you go there to try to figure out where the confluence was? And he said, I was there to look at the points of diversion and looked at the other channel that was approximately 50 feet to the east of the upper point of diversion. It was not there specifically to try to make a determination of where those two channels join. And then I followed up and said, okay, so you're here not testifying today. I should say this is on pages 12 and 13 of our brief.
Thank you.
And I said, Mr. McConnell testified it came in below his upper diversion point, and you're not here disputing that. Answer, I won't dispute that there's another channel that was west of the upper point of diversion that joined another one downstream. No disagreement there at all. So there isn't any evidence in the record showing that at the map location that that creek comes in there. It's further downstream. And so, and then that actually leads to this Bohan ditch question, which again, I think has been confused a little bit by what the hearing officer actually held. If you look at the colorful map, you can see the location of that Bohan ditch or Bohannon ditch. It's below where the hilltop split with spilled water. Okay? And what the hearing officer said was, when you release water from that ditch system, it goes down into the drainage, and it goes into the Bohannon ditch. But later on, in his opinion, he says, this is on the record at 188, currently water released from the Whitaker ditch system flows into Lee Creek below McConnell's upper diversion. And the district judge said, quoting that, he said, the director, this is on page 8 of the opinion, the director recognizes that Stroud Creek presently flows into Lee Creek below the McConnell's upper diversion. The confusion is, I think, is that if you actually look at what the hearing officer cited to, which was the testimony of our expert, Bryce Contour, there's additional testimony that he doesn't include. And here's what he testified to. He said, so the flow, this is the transcript at 525, so the flow that comes from the hilltop split is intercepted by the remnant of the Bohannon ditch. And for a short distance, it's all confined in that ditch. And then it begins to break out and overtop that ditch. There's a distance of, I don't know, an eighth of a mile where there are multiple little rivulet channels being cut into a meadow that eventually coalesce into what appears to be a historical channel. So I don't think the hearing officer held that the Stroud Creek channel is the Bohannon ditch. If you look at district court briefing, Bohannon ditch is hardly mentioned. What the defense was at the district court level is that the hearing officer could look at a mapped confluence location as the starting point for his injury evaluation. And we believe that was error, and just Judge Wildman agreed. You have to base it off of what currently exists today. Based on even this is post-SRBA. So in this particular case, we think the district court got it right, that this is really more of a, as the court said frequently, the record demonstrates.
And so help me understand, because what I'm not getting from your argument, so the hearing officer, when I read his decision, it's all based on his conclusion that the West Springs ditch is an unauthorized diversion of water from Stroud Creek. What authorizes the West Springs ditch to take water from Stroud Creek?
So it doesn't. And this is where the agreement that was decreed in Whitaker versus Cowher comes in. Because what that agreement, the agreement between the parties was, there used to be a flume that crossed the Stroud Creek channel. And there was an agreement reached in 1932 to replace it with a berm. But we know from the Whitaker versus Cowher decision that that spring was isolated and flumed even before 1912. So historically, they were isolated, treated almost as private property. Then what happened in 1932 is there was an agreement that they could berm it, put in a ditch, but then there was an agreement to alter the flow of Stroud Creek by running the water through the Cowher ditch.
Isn't that a diversion? I mean, Whitaker v. Cowher even calls it a diversion, and I'm asking you that because if it was a diversion, didn't it need to be claimed in the SRBA?
On whose water right?
Whitaker's. If Whitaker wanted to continue utilizing the West Springs ditch.
But it was decreed to divert the spring water
Right.
It's not authorized to divert Stroud Creek water, and historically, the water master didn't send Stroud Creek water down it. He would take the excess water and route it through the Cower Ditch and inject it into Reed Creek.
And that's where I'm getting hung up, because when I read the hearing officer's decision, that's where I see him saying, I'm relying on the historical flow because you never should have been taking this water from Stroud Creek via the West Springs Ditch to begin with, because it's not part of your water rights. So help me understand, from your position, what am I not getting?
What you're not getting is that it historically would not divert Stroud Creek water unless there were excess flows. And there's a general provision in the Lemhi Basin that allows for the diversion of excess, essentially, flood water. But in this particular case, this was all overseen by a state-employed water master. There's an IDWR identification tag on the Cower Ditch. It's just that the McConnells never included that in their water rights, because that diversion is for the benefit of the McConnells, not Whitaker. And so what you're missing, Justice Zong, is the West Springs Ditch is an authorized point of diversion for the spring water. It's not an authorized point of diversion for Stroud Creek. And what the department, or at least the hearing officer, determined was that it was illegally diverting Stroud Creek water. If you read the memorandum decision from Judge Wildman, he addresses that. He said part of this Whitaker versus Keller agreement was that you were going to alter the flow of how Stroud Creek water gets down to the McConnells, or to their predecessor. It either gets routed through the Cower Ditch, or it comes in and spills back over down the drainage, down into the lower part of Stroud Creek. So when we talk about what the Whitaker versus Cower decision decided, it decided several things. And again, one thing that I think has been not correctly represented is that it only decreed 80 miners inches. If you go look at the district court decision, and this is in one of our exhibits, it actually originally decreed all 3.2 CFS, but it was the McConnell's predecessors, they only appealed the determination that 80 inches of it was on their property. So the lower judgment still held. So there's all 3.2 CFS that should be available to my clients. So in this case, I think the argument is being made that, well, there was a significant factual dispute as to where the confluence was. And it depends on how you define confluence.
Before you go any further, I'm maybe lost in the weeds a little bit, and I need to go back to the opening remarks of the appellant's position. I took some notes as that was going on, and I wrote down that the representation was made that the hearing officer determined that Stroud Creek comes in above the above the diversion. Do you agree with that?
No, that's again, I'm quoting from page 7 of the preliminary order, the very first sentence under his analysis section, record at 188. Currently, water released from the Whitaker Ditch system flows into Lee Creek below McConnell's upper diversion. And then in his analysis section, he describes why he can ignore that and treat a prior mapped confluence location as the location that he can base his injury evaluation on.
Another statement that was made was that the Bohannon Ditch comes in below, that the hearing officer determined that the Bohannon Ditch comes in below the diversion. Do you agree with that?
No, and if you carefully read his words and look at the colorful map, and just for the record, you can see what they call the Bohannon Ditch. There's a circle on number 27, but below the West Springs Ditch, there was a historical ditch called the Bohannon Ditch that circled around the hillside. It's no longer used. My clients now own that property. It's a dilapidated ditch. And what our expert found when he went out and looked at where the water goes after it comes out of the West Springs Ditch and spills down is it starts in that remnant ditch but then spills further down and coalesces into a channel. And all of the testimony at the hearing was about what that's lower Stroud Creek channel is the natural channel of Stroud Creek. There's a lower section that starts up again. And again, my clients would have no need to modify that lower section because that's not part of their system. It's below their delivery system.
Another statement that was made in the opening remarks was that the district court confused or basically equated the Bohannon Ditch with Scout Creek. Do you agree or disagree with that proposition?
Disagree. There's not even a mention of the Bohannon Ditch in the district court opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and again, if you read the memorandum decision, this is Judge Wildman summarizing what the director found. Currently, water release from the Whitaker Ditch system flows into Lee Creek below McConnell's upper diversion. The director recognized that Stroud Creek presently flows into Lee Creek below the McConnell's upper diversion. So he didn't call it Bohannon Ditch or Bohannon Ditch. That was a creek channel. And so then he goes on to again, analyze it. And what he determined was based on that undisputed fact, there's substantial evidence in the record that's actually contrary to what the hearing officer found. There's no dispute where that currently comes in. So recognizing that, what did Judge Wildman determine? Well, if you add the lower point of diversion, now what you've done is you've given that water right, those senior water rights, administrative access to a tributary stream that it didn't have before. The lower diversion may have been used for decades, but it was never authorized by a transfer application. It was never authorized in the SRB. It wasn't claimed in the SRB. And so the fact that we are where we are is not because of anything Whitaker did, and this report makes that abundantly clear. It's because those elements of the water right were not claimed by the McConnells. And so we think that the district court correctly determined what the injury evaluation standard is. And so we would ask this court to affirm that decision. Now, couple additional arguments. In response to this Snake River Basin adjudication question, the issue is an agreement to alter the flow of a creek, is that an element of the water right? Judge Wildman, who's decreed thousands of water rights, said, no, that's not an element of a water right. This was a prior agreement. It was essentially it was part of a quiet title action that may have started as an oral agreement, but it was decreed and adjudicated. And that agreement is binding. And it's binding because there was part performance. There was full performance. The ditch was constructed. Water was administered that way. And importantly, in the Whitaker versus Cower decision, it was a successor in interest to the prior owner that agreed to it that the court said was still binding on successors. So how is it binding on successors? Well, this court already said that it was. And it continues to be that the case today. And there is no requirement that it be recorded. There's reference to a title policy. Well, the title policies I deal with don't even insure water rights. So the fact that it wasn't recorded doesn't obviate the fact that there was certainly constructive notice of what was going on. And water rights, as well, they're not recorded against the property. They're on the records of the Department of Water Resources. So a landowner that purchases property and sees that it's irrigated is on constructive notice to determine, well, how do I get my water here?
Well, but hold on a minute. I mean, the unified decree is recorded.
Well, as far as what the elements of the water rights are, but this agreement is not an element of a water right.
But the unified decree is recorded. I mean, it's a recorded document. It puts the world on notice of what all these water rights are.
Right, but what Judge Wildman held is that an agreement to alter the flow of a creek is not an element of a water right that would have been described or had to be described in that final defined decree.
But why is it an agreement to alter the flow of a creek as opposed to a diversion, which is what this court called it in Whitaker v. Cower?
Well, because this court has held several times that ditch and land use issues are different than water right issues. Water right issue, or the water rights describe your relationship with the state of Idaho for where you can divert and use your water. This was an agreement to change the flow of how that water was going to get down further down the drainage.
That sounds like a diversion.
Well, so you mean the Cower Ditch?
changing, I mean, changing the flow of the water so that you can use it sounds like a diversion.
Right. So this is exactly what the judge held, is that it was the McConnells that should have claimed the Keller Ditch as a point of diversion to get water over, across, and into the drainage. That's not something that the Whitakers would have to do or would be on their water right, because the diversion is upstream from their springs. The diversion is for the benefit of the McConnells. And that's where this SRBA argument, I think, is misguided, is because there's nothing on face of our decree that would have authorized the diversion of groundwater upstream from our springs complex. It would have had to have been claimed under their water rights. And again, that's made clear in the opinion.
So maybe I'm confused then. So are you saying it didn't have to be claimed? That the oral agreement was not superseded by the SRBA, or that it had been claimed by the appellants?
The district judge found injury in two locations. The first one is just strictly straightforward water law. If you add a point of diversion that gives you administrative access to a water supply you didn't have before, that's a point of injury. The second one was that he couldn't ignore the significant problems that would occur that were memorialized and decreed in the Whitaker versus Keller decision. This watershed has changed. There's no creek channel below the Whitaker diversion up above and down below. And so it's on that second point that the court said, you're going to cause significant disruption to a system that's been there for over 90 years. And that's a form of injury as well. And so, based on that finding of injury, the court determined under both those prongs that the McConnell's transfer should not be approved without a mitigating subordination condition on the water rights. And so, in this specific case, we think that the district judge got it right, that this is a form of injury. The district judge found the substantial evidence in the record to base this decision, use the correct legal standard, and we think that this court should affirm on all counts. In this case, we've also asked...
You just said the district court found in the record. So the district court made a finding, or did it just reach a different conclusion from evidence that was already found by the hearing officer?
Well, in the judicial review standards, the court looks to see if the findings are based on substantial and competent evidence in the record. The court determined that on several of those findings, that evidence was not there, and that the substantial evidence was actually precisely the opposite.
So if that was a finding that other evidence showed something else, is that something that he should have done on review, or is that something he should have remanded? Because you understand what I'm saying? Part of the essence of their argument is that Judge Wildman made some improper findings here. And I wasn't thinking that was the case, so I heard you use the word that he looked at the record and found something different. So that doesn't sound like that's just applying the law differently as a found fact. It sounds like he's making new findings. I just want to be clear what Judge Wildman did.
Well, all I can read is from the opinion. He said the record establishes that Stroud Creek presently flows into Lee Creek below the McConnell's upper diversion. So he looked at the record, did not find substantial evidence to support what the hearing officer concluded, and located undisputed evidence of where the confluence actually is. And so when I use the word finding, in my view, he applied the correct legal standard. You don't look at a map location, you look at an actual location of a confluence. And that's ultimately where the decision turned.
But did he reach that conclusion from things that the director found? For example, in his decision on, we talk about page 8 of the memorandum decision a lot, Judge Wildman said the director recognized that Stroud Creek presently flows into Lee Creek. That doesn't sound like a finding. That sounds like he's pointing out something from the findings that were made.
Yeah, and that's I'm quoting from the preliminary order. That's the quote. So again, yeah, he's quoting there to say, yeah, this is what the director found. And nevertheless, he's going to base his injury evaluation on a conception that it should have been at a different location. And that was the error. So,
Mr. Harris, to follow up on Justice Mueller's question, are you suggesting that the evidence was uncontradicted? Because I heard Mr. Bromley say that the maps show one thing and the testimony showed another. It strikes me as something inherently contradictory, but we don't know which is which, and we leave that to the finder of fact to determine.
And what I would say is I disagree with that. Just because a map says here's where the water currently comes in, that's not where you evaluate injury. You base it off of where the water currently flows into the system.
But how do you determine what is the lay of the land without making that determination?
Well, a map is a visual depiction of what somebody at some point observed. And in 1954, that confluence very well could have been there. The question is it there today? And the answer is no. There's no dispute in the record that it's not there. It's not at the map location. The creek channel has changed. They parallel each other for some distance before the creek comes in below the upper diversion. So I understand there's fact questions and legal application of those. But again, if you read Judge Wildman's decision, I believe you reviewed the record, he said it's undisputed where that creek channel comes in. So with that, Your Honors, we ask that the court would affirm and again, award attorney fees under Ad Code 12.17.
Thank you, sir. Madam Clerk, how much time is left for the appellant?
1 minute, Your Honor.
1 minute.
I'll try and make this very quick. Okay, let's talk very, very quickly about what the hearing officer found, which is going to whether or not the district judge substituted findings. 100% that's what happened. So in the order denying petitions for reconsideration on the record at 270, we get into this blurring of the lines issue again that we've seen throughout this case. The hearing officer says, the phrase was once located and in the past are an accurate description of the evidence in the record related to the confluence of Stroud Creek and Right Fork of Blue Creek. The preliminary order identifies substantial and compelling evidence that the confluence was previously located upstream of McConnell's upper diversion. The question presented to the hearing officer is whether the confluence continues to exist at the same location today. It's exactly what Mr. Harris was saying. Answer, the hearing officer concluded that the confluence of Stroud Creek, Right Fork of Leak Creek, continues to be located upstream of McConnell's upper diversion. The hearing officer reached this conclusion by evaluating the current conditions in the Stroud Creek drainage.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Counsel, each of you, thank you for your fine work in this case. This matter is under advisement for the rendering decision. We'll recess for approximately 10 minutes.
All rise, please.